Welcome to Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset with your host, Brian Keane.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset to help you with your goals. I hope you all had an amazing transition week. This is what we call in the fitness industry a transition week. That first week after New Year's Day or New Year's Eve is normally always a bit of a transition where people are detoxing from alcohol, detoxing from too much food, and there's normally a little bit of a transition going on where people are starting to get their gym memberships and starting to get into their programs or back with their trainers or into classes or onto their online programs or whatever it is that the way that you train and whatever way you work best. People tend to use this week as the transition, and now come Monday the 9th of January, it tends to be the busiest time in the gyms. That second Monday of January is like notoriously the busiest time in every gym. For example, my next online program starts on Monday the 9th for that reason, because of just the massive influx of people coming in. So the gym is going to be busy on Monday. So just be aware that when you go in on Monday, it's probably going to be very busy, and it's not always like that. So don't get deterred from the amount of people that are there on Monday and Tuesday. That is a very normal and very common thing. So today's episode is going to be focused on the Q&A. So if you're not following my Snapchat, BrianK019, all the questions come in via Snapchat. So if there's any question you want to put on the podcast for the Q&A episode, definitely follow me on there, BrianK019, and you can send in your questions. I open it up every day for Q&As back and forth where we do our Snapchat Q&A, but I also open it up for people to send in questions for the podcast. So all these questions came in via Snapchat. So first question from Dennis Graney. Should you take a week off supplements sometimes? Okay, it really depends on the context of the supplements you're using. There's some supplements you need to cycle. There's some supplements that you can take year-round. And I generally find, personally myself and with people that I work with, it varies on each person's specific goals on what will work best for you. So there are certain supplements that I will take year-round, like whey, or good quality protein. I'm using a rice protein at the minute, but I've used good quality whey proteins. Branched chain amino acids, I'll use all year-round, because they're going to support my goals regardless of whether it's fat loss, whether it's muscle building, whether it's both, whether it's improving sporting performance. Those supplements are going to help me, so I take them all year round. However, there are other supplements that are going to be very, very goal dependent. And it's the same in my online program. I have different supplements based on each person's goals in the program. So if you're in the fat loss version of the program and you want to lose body fat, you're going to prioritize things like green tea extract and L-carnitine tartrate. And if you're trying to build more muscle, you're going to prioritize supplements like creatine and beta-alanine. So it's going to be very much dependent on what your specific goals are, and then cycling the supplements and coming on and off them depending on what your goal at the time of the year is. So for example, if it's January now and you plan to cut and want to lose some body fat in January and February, you're probably going to prioritize things like caffeine, green tea extract, L-carnitine tartrate, maybe CLA, the fat burning supplements that support you and don't upset your, you know, central nervous system, like some very, very potent fat burners that you can buy and you can have a rebound effect. I've talked about that in other episodes, and I would avoid those fat burners, even though they do work. You will probably have a rebound out the other side, and they do tend to have a pretty negative effect on people when you come off them. And then, for example, say you were trying to lose body fat in January and February, you'd use those supplements. And then in March, you decide, you know what, I want to build more muscle. You may take those supplements out and add in creatine, beta-alanine. You may bump up your leucine from your branched chain amino acids and use more supplements that are more based on facilitating muscle growth and building muscle size as opposed to just losing body fat. Again, you may be going through the entire year where you're trying to build muscle and lose body fat through the year, and in that case, those supplements, with the exception of maybe green tea extract because there's a little bit of caffeine in it, I would keep them in all year round. There's no negative effect, assuming you're sticking within the right parameters of dosages and you're not overdoing the dose and you're using it correctly and using it safely. Those supplements, those ones that are amino acid based and things like creatine, your glutamine, they're going to support you regardless of what you're doing. It's the supplements like pre-workouts, high potency fat burners, them supplements that are very, very potent and very strong and affect your central nervous system and send you into a heavy state of fight or flight. you want to cycle on and off. It's why pre-workouts have used for 6 weeks and take a break for three and then use for 6 weeks again. And fat burners have a very, very similar warning label on most of them. That's why, because they're loaded with stimulants, they're loaded with caffeine, they get your central nervous system all jacked up, so they put your body into a fight or flight, which releases a lot of cortisol in your body, which is pretty damaging to your body long term. It's why you've got to cycle those types of supplements. So I always recommend coming on and off your pre-workouts if you use them. If you are using fat burners, which I don't recommend, you're better to cycle them on and off so you at least don't do any damage long term. But it really depends on the supplements you're using. For example, all the ones in my online program, you could potentially use them all year round. There's a health section, there's a sleep section, there's a fat loss section, a muscle building section. So it depends on what your specific goals are, and then we adjust it and tweak it depending on what works best for you. So you would use it depending on your specific goals. So whether you cycle them or not is going to be dependent on if your goals change or if you're using high potency supplements like pre-workouts and fat burners. Next question from Cahal Nolan. Why does your body not want food when you are hungover? Couple of reasons for this. The most one that is obvious is that your body is trying to detoxify itself, and that actually goes both ways for people. Some people actually go the reverse when they're hungover. They tend to get them if they haven't slept and their body becomes very, very toxic trying to detoxify the liver. They can actually have like a decrease in dopamine, serotonin, happy hormones in the brain, which can signal an increase in wanting carbohydrates and sugary foods and potentially foods that aren't going to support your physique goals, because your serotonin and dopamine is off, your blood sugars are off, and there's a lot of different things. So it's very context dependent on the person. Some people will be hungover and not want to eat for the entire day. Other people will eat all around them. So it really depends on each person, and then knowing that it is down to your body, the fact that it's detoxifying itself, and not everyone will respond the same way. So you're probably going to be, you're obviously, Carl, one of the people that can eat the next day, but there's going to be a lot of people listening here that are the opposite, where they eat all around them the next day. So it really depends on the person to person, but largely it's down to your body being in a toxic state. Because if your alcohol, you know, by and large is a toxin to the body, it's why you get hungover, it's why you get sick, what it's trying to detoxify itself from that. And I'm not saying don't drink, obviously occasionally in moderation, and you tend to only get hangovers when you've gone excessive in it, but it's your body trying to detoxify itself, your liver trying to detoxify itself. And when your body, your liver particularly, is trying to detoxify the alcohol out of the system, it's not going to focus on getting food in there in your case, because it's too busy on doing another job. So it's not going to signal all the things to your body to get your nutrients and get your food. If anything, as you start to feel better in the later in the day, you'll get like a massive appetite and then go towards something sugary or something salt or sodium-y, because your body may also be dehydrated and your sodium levels and things can be upset from having alcohol and flushing out the electrolytes and stuff in your body, because that's effectively what alcohol does. It'll dehydrate your body. So it's why you wake up in the morning with a dry mouth. You can have a headache hangovers normally from dehydration. So that, again, it comes down to how your body handles the hangover, because everybody is very, very different in terms of how they feel when they're hungover. So that's largely, by and large, what happens and why you feel that way. Next question is a screenshot of a photo, so I don't have any name. Thoughts on foam rolling and stretching before gym sessions? Okay, this one as well, two parts to this answer, because it is context dependent, as most things are. Number one, if you're training for hypertrophy, I personally, and like body composition where you're not trying to hit a personal best in your lifts, I personally like foam rolling before training sessions. I find that the myofascial release and the release of the tightness and knots and the release of the fibers, basically, which is effectively what's happening when you foam roll, you know, through certain areas of the body, you're releasing tension in those areas. I find an increased pump in the workout because the blood flow is easier to get to the muscle. So in terms of hypertrophy and body composition, I quite like doing foam rolling and myofascial release before sessions. I find that if I foam roll my quads, I will get better blood and better connection with my quads during the workout. However, there's a lot of studies done on myofascial release for powerlifters and strength athletes and how it can affect your personal best. So if you're a powerlifter or you're training for a personal best in that session, particularly through, say, legs, I wouldn't advise doing foam rolling or even stretching before that, because you nearly want your body in a tighter, rigid state, because you're focused on moving the weight up and down. A lot of studies on that, it's worth checking out. The other side of it then is performance-based people. I generally have people in my Lean Body GAA program doing their myofascial release and foam rolling at the end of sessions or away from their gym session. This really is more because they're working for explosiveness. So slow negatives, fast positive movements on certain exercises. And you don't want that to affect the weight you're moving or your core or anything to be compromised by having done a foam roll or having done myofascial release all throughout your body or whatever areas you tend to hit. It really is context dependent on what part of the body you're rolling out and stretching as well. But in terms of my athletes, my GAA players, I tend to prefer them doing that at the very end of sessions when they're not going to be doing any lifts after it, or splitting it so they do it in the morning or the evening. For example, I do my recovery strategy for my GAA program every single morning because it's normally a time issue in the gym. I'll have 45, 50 minutes and I'll train, so I'm in and out in the hour, but I'll do my 15, 20 minutes of recovery strategy every morning while I listen to my audiobook. So it doubles over quite nicely for that. But again, it's context dependent. Also, trial it with you and see what works best. And if you find that you're really, really tight and that loosening yourself up before the workout gives you a better workout, then it's going to work great for you. So have a little trial with that and see what works. But in terms of the only thing that I think it will have a detrimental effect, and noticeably so, is if you were trying to hit a personal best or trying to hit, you know, a new number for a strength lift. Okay, next question from D Kelly XX. What's the advantage of doing reps slowly for fat loss or building muscle? Okay, so these came in from my Snapchat, so I regularly put up my workouts on Snapchat, and a lot of you will notice that I do a lot of time under tension stuff. I do a lot of slow training purely because, regardless of your goals, whether it's fat loss or muscle building, by putting the muscle that you're trying to work under constant tension, you're going to tear more fibers, which is going to elicit a more positive response to body composition than not training that way. So for example, if I'm doing, you know, 2 seconds up, 1 second pause at the bottom, 2 seconds on the way down on a bicep curl, I'm going to tear more fibers than if I just threw the weight up and down. I'm also going to work the muscle I'm trying to work. So if I'm working biceps, I'm working biceps and I'm not bringing front delts into it. I'm not swinging at my hips. I'm working the muscle I'm trying to work. So I'm tearing the fibers in that muscle, which is going to change the body composition of how that muscle looks. It's how the majority of people in my online program change their physique and change their body, is because they're loading the muscle they're trying to work with constant tension. And then you use your nutrition and base your goals around your nutrition, because you're going to get the best of fat loss or muscle building depending on how your nutrition is built around it. So for example, if you're working on a time under tension program where you're working for a lot of tension and tearing the fibers on the muscle you're trying to work, and you're eating a calorie deficit, you're going to tear more fibers, which will elevate your metabolism, which means you burn more calories, which means you'll lose more body fat. On the flip side of that, if you are tearing more fibers in your workout and tearing the fibers in the muscle you're trying to work and eating a calorie surplus and eating enough amino acids and eating enough calories to support growth, you're going to build more muscle. So that's the reason why I train that way, because whether my goal is fat loss or whether my goal is muscle building, I will train a similar way, and then I will build my nutritional strategy around whatever my goals are at the time, whether it's to build muscle or burn body fat. Next question is another photo. What's the best class for weight loss? There's loads of great classes that will work for weight loss. It's more dependent on getting your nutrition on point and then a training program around it. So it doesn't really matter as much, as long as you're getting your heart rate up and getting a physical benefit from whatever class you choose to do, as long as your nutrition is on point and based around your goals. So for example, if you're in a nutritional plan where you're keeping your blood sugar stable and eating real food and either eating at maintenance and getting a deficit from training or eating a calorie deficit, and then whatever class you do around that is going to support weight loss or fat loss, depending. Weight loss and fat loss are two different things. Weight loss is where you drop weight on a scale. Fat loss is when your body fat drops off your body. For example, I've had both in my online program, people that will drop a lot of weight and body fat where their scale will reduce and their body fat will reduce. And I've had other people that have kept the weight the exact same for the 6 and 12 weeks, but their body fat has massively dropped. So they drop 2-3 dress sizes or 2-3 notches on their belts, but their weight is the same because their body fat has dropped. So they are two different things. Weight loss and fat loss are two different things. So depending, weight loss works quite well if you're overweight or obese, And it can be an indicator to some degree, but it's not your best indicator of progress, particularly if you're already semi-lean or just holding body fat in your stubborn areas. Unless you're chronically obese or chronically overweight, then the scale is actually going to be a pretty good indicator for you because it will track your progress better than most things. But in terms of what class to do, I like anything that's a high intensity. Like you, to get into your fat burning zone in cardio, you need to be around 70% of your max heart rate. A good class will probably bump you up to 85, 90%. You know, a circuit class, a spinning class, something that gets your heart rate up high is going to put you into a very positive fat burning zone, assuming your nutrition's on point. My personal preference is doing circuit style workouts. Like for example, in the home workout version of my online plan, I've got one full circuit workout, which is basically the classes that I used to run when I lived in London, but I put them into the home workout version of my plan, and it's all body weight, which is creating a lot of tension on the muscle but also working for heart rate. So you're burning fat from both sides. You're going to elevate your metabolism by putting your body under resistance and tearing fibers, which means you'll burn more calories, but you're also getting your heart rate up, which means you'll burn more calories in the workout. So you're hitting it from both sides. So my preference would always be to try and get a class where you do both. So a good circuit class, a good spinning class can do this as well, where you'll elicit a lot of fiber tears, but you'll also get your heart rate up. That tends to be the very best for fat loss and weight loss. Okay, last question. How do you stay motivated to do what you do? Okay, to be honest, I stay motivated because I love what I do. I am so grateful and so wake up every single morning thinking nearly that you're living in a dream, that I get to live the life that I live. And I never take it for granted. To the fact that you're even listening to this podcast right now, and you may be doing something else, you may be driving to work, you may be doing the dishes, you may be cooking or prepping your meals, but you're still listening to what I'm doing, and I'm able to provide value and be able to talk about the things that I love most: fitness, nutrition, training, mindset, business, books, and to have an outlet to do that makes me so grateful. And my motivation comes from loving what I do, because there was a time when I didn't love what I did. You know, I worked as a teacher for years, and I loved that. I loved working with the kids. I hated all the paperwork that came with it. I hated all the other stuff that comes with it. And there was times when I just didn't like my job. So I'm so grateful to have that contrast that I get to do this now. And I work more hours now. I work longer hours now. But it doesn't feel like work. You know, I've said it in videos and podcasts before that if I won the lotto tomorrow, I would do everything that I'm doing right now because I love what I do. And that keeps me motivated to get up every morning and do it, because I never take it for granted that there was a time when I didn't do what I loved and I didn't get to live the life that I'm living right now. And there was a time when I would have given my left arm to have everything that I have right now. And it keeps me eternally grateful, which in turn keeps my motivation really high. So the advice I would offer to anybody is find whatever it is you're most passionate about and what you love more than anything else, that you go to bed thinking about and you wake up thinking about. Try and build your life around that. I loved training. I loved the gym. I loved nutrition. When I was studying in college, I was reading nutrition books. You know, I love business. I love mindset. I love reading. All of these things I've now built into my life because they don't feel like work. If you can build your life around the thing that you love the most to do in this entire world, it'll feel like you've never worked a day in your life and you'll never struggle for motivation in that aspect. So I hope that makes sense and I hope that answers your question. Okay, so I want to say a massive thank you to everybody for downloading the podcast episode. If you haven't checked out my new free ebook, The Top 7 Fat Loss Secrets, head over to my website or Facebook, Brian Keane Fitness, and you can download that free ebook. It's got my top 7 fat loss secrets that will help you in the month of January. So things like how to cut out processed food out of your diet, how to time your free meal, how to time your carbohydrates for fat loss, and everything that will support you going forward in terms of losing body fat over the month of January. So hopefully that will help you loads, and any feedback you want to give me on that would be absolutely incredible. So head over to my website www.briankeenfitness.com or my Facebook, Brian Keane Fitness, and you can download that for free, and hopefully it will help you and give you a massive advantage to losing body fat over the next couple of weeks and over the next couple of months. For any more information on me, you can head over to my website, www.briankeenfitness.com. You can sign up to my newsletter on there, or you can read my blog on there. On my Snapchat, BrianK019, all the questions from the podcast, come in on Snapchat, BrianK019. So follow me on there. I open it every day for Q&As back and forth. And you can follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram, or Brian Keane Fitness. And you should be able to download my free ebook across nearly all my platforms. It went up on the 2nd of January. So if you have to scroll to the 2nd of January in any post or go onto the website, you can get it directly. And hopefully that will help you loads. Thanks to Cullum over at Voxonic for mixing the episode. Cullum does all my podcast work, so I can't thank him enough for all of his effort and for putting together the episode. So thank you, Cullum. Catch you guys soon.